WABC presents The Press Box. Press Box is brought to you by Jerry's J&W Carpet in Midlothian. Drive a little and save a lot at Jerry's J&W Carpet. The Press Box is your source for Ellis County High School sports. And now, here's tonight's show.
And here we are. We made it, gentlemen. We made it through the eclipse.
Yes, we did.
That's Chad right. Hicks here, the Press Box, alongside Mike Fay, under the exquisite production of Mr. Yo-Yo Dave Van Zandt.
Good afternoon, evening, guys.
And let me tell y'all something, gentlemen, about earlier today. At about approximately exactly 1:40 p.m., I knew we were going to get some sort of musical lead-in.
Of course.
Yeah. It's not Bonnie Raitt. It's Bonnie something.
Yeah.
Bonnie Tyler.
Bonnie Tyler.
Bonnie Tyler.
Yeah, One Shot Wonder. Is that it?
Yeah, total eclipse of the heart.
Right, and my eyes. Total eclipse of the sun and my eyes.
Well, the actual sun is sun. The song is Total Eclipse of the Heart. It's by Bonnie Tyler.
Yeah. Bonnie Tyler, yes. And she was a One Shot Wonder back about when I was in high school.
She was.
Little unit right
was
there.
She big?
I have no idea if there, she did anything else other than that.
She did. She did. It's a Heartache.
Yeah.
And then she covered Bruce Springsteen's Because of the Night.
And to think that she wrote a song in 1984 that would not become popular until 2024.
Yeah, oh, it was very popular then, but to resurge. Plus, you're giving her a little more credit. I would defer to my colleague, the broadcaster over here. Mm-hmm. I don't know if she wrote that song.
I don't know, but
well,
I know she
sang
did,
it.
She did a duet with Kenny Rogers, too. I can't remember.
Oh.
Because she was in the...
You're talking about Sheena Easton or her?
No, her.
Oh.
She was a part of the first edition.
I thought that was Chaka Khan.
Oh, she was part of the first edition.
Yeah, she was with Kenny Rogers back in the day.
Rosie.
Yeah.
They don't take
first
your
edition.
Love
Boy,
down.
We went so far off track.
That's true.
We went from, I thought we were going to lead in with Eclipse talk, and we're over here gabbing.
Yeah. Well, let me run down the agenda, Chad, to get myself back on track. Not that you guys aren't, but ladies and gentlemen, we have a great show tonight.
We got, this is action-packed.
We do.
This is as action-packed as radio can be right here.
Yes, it can. Because, pal, you know, we should have the... you know, the 1960s Batman with the...
Right, the cardboard signs that say, pow, bang, boom.
You think they're cardboard?
I 100%
you think some, like,
cardboard
key grip on the stage.
Some knucklehead is jumping
it.
In front of the, camera without being seen from behind.
Couldn't do the animation as, meanwhile, over at Warner Brothers, they're producing Daffy Duck.
Right, and cars and stuff. All right, let me bring...
Chatter, don't bring me down that far, Coach.
Yeah,
come on, a little
ahead.
Higher, a little higher, a little higher.
No, you're redlining every time, Mike.
Yeah,
that's
you need
what
to...
I do.
That's right.
Anyway,
right.
But here's the deal, though. The point I was going to make is that we do have a big show. It's very impactful
it
to
is.
The point where we should have animated words to follow our actions. But... who we, amongst our other massive topics here at the Press Box on KBEC, on the sports desk as I see it in front of me, we got some things to discuss. You know, obviously we got baseball, we got soccer going, and speaking of soccer, Coach.
Oh, we got a lot of soccer.
Who we got tonight?
We have as our guest via the telephone line, Alexander Graham Bell.
You're right.
We have Coach Austin Guest of Midlothian, that is.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And a player, and I'm going to botch his names. Dang it, you put me on the spot here, Mikey. But Caden, it's either Nazir. So listeners, just stick around, and we will get the correct pronunciation. But let me tell you something about this little team over there in Midlo.
What's it talking about?
Mikey, they're headed to the state finals tournament.
Oh,
well,
my.
You know, Coach, they are 23-2-3 overall, it says here on the Great Max Preps, not to mention 14-0-2 in first place in district as they finish the season.
Oh yeah, they're on fire.
We're in the playoffs now, ranked 32nd in the state of Texas. But I bet Coach Austin Guest and Mr. Caden would have something to say about that.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. But I'm excited to have them on. But man, I do think we need to stop down right here at the beginning of this deal and talk a little bit about that their eclipse. Because let me tell y'all something.
Yeah.
Right.
I've seen a lot in this world. I've been very, very fortunate, at least a lot in nature and, you know, a lot of stuff that other people have seen. I'm not trying to say I'm better than anyone else like I normally do. But I'm trying to stay humble in this thing. But, I mean, I've seen the Grand Canyon and Niagara Falls and stood at the base of El Capitan and looked up at that thing and all that. Hmm. But what I experienced today, Yo-Yo.
Yes, sir.
Man, that was a pretty powerful deal, man.
Was it really, you think?
Yeah, it was.
I do.
It was.
Yeah, for 4 minutes, it was surreal, dude.
Really?
Yeah.
Where were you to witness
I was
this?
In my backyard. I had a nice little gap between the trees. I was laid back on a chaise lounge.
Is it chaise or chaise?
It's chaise.
It's chaise if you're Texan. If you're French, yeah. It's chaise.
Okay.
Don't get all tangled up in the weeds over there. All right. So, but I'm laying back, head prone in the perfect angle and position to where I was totally relaxed. I had on my fancy schmancy, you know, no, they weren't Warby Parker, Mikey, but they were from the grocery store. They cost like $2. They were made out of cardboard.
Yes.
I think I had the same pair on today. But
yeah, okay. Yeah. I had those on. But
Warby
then,
Parker, you're going to have to come back to that one. Go ahead.
Well, it's a fancy brand of sunglasses.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
All right.
And so I put on a welding mask that's supposed to be auto-tinting, so like it's clear or somewhat clear. You could see through it when you're not welding, but as soon as you strike the arc, it darkens immediately, but I was having a bit of a malfunction. But nonetheless, it was a big help because without the mask, you know, staring at the sun, you felt a lot of heat on your face. So that welding mask, you know, shielded that, and it made it very comfortable. And you I would watch for a minute or two and then just kind of close my eyes and just meditate and think about things. And here of late, I've had a lot to think about. But anyway, you know, and so every 10, 12 minutes or something, open my eyes and look up there at the thing to see. And then you could see drastic.
How soon change. Did you get out there?
I was there at 12:20 when they said to get out there.
Yeah,
I wrote it out for an hour and 20 minutes to gain time.
I was thinking every 10 to 12 minutes. I was thinking I was down there, saw it, and out in 15.
Yeah.
So, you were there early.
I was there early and kept watching.
Did you stay late
it.
As well?
No. Once it was over, because I realized that the aftermath was basically going to be a mirror image of the pregame.
Right.
I explained that very thing to somebody today. They said, why are you leaving so fast? I said, I think.
Yeah.
Not to be assumptive.
You're speculating.
But I think the light down is going to really correlate closely to the light back.
Yeah. No, and it did.
Yeah.
But to be there. And, you know, we were out in the backyard. Our canine friend, Birdie, was, you know, she's all around the yard and doing her thing. And when it got dark, she was, I'm not going to say she was freaking out, like she's scared and barking and lost and all that. But you could tell she was a little bit uneasy. Like, dude, it doesn't normally get this dark. Because, you know, animals have I've never seen one with a wristwatch on, but they kind of know what time it is throughout the day.
You don't watch enough Peanuts.
Well, I know I don't.
Snoopy will sport a watch occasionally. But, anyway, you make a point.
But does Snoopy sport a Charlie Brown watch? Like Charlie Brown sports a Snoopy
I think
watch?
He wears a Mickey Mouse watch.
Oh, Mickey Mouse.
That's what I'm thinking. They cross planes there.
Okay.
But.
Yeah.
So let me ask you. So what did Birdie really take notice? Like, hey, this isn't normal?
Yeah, she's like, you know, she's working the perimeter. You know how dogs will work the perimeter of the yard and their space. And you could just tell she was a bit uneasy.
Nose down,
sniffing it out. Yeah, exactly. You know, and like, what's going on here? And, of course, 4 minutes and some odd 20 seconds or so into it, you know, it starts to wane back the other way. But it was really, really cool. To the point to where... Well, we got an email. I have a sister-in-law that lives in the outback of Western Australia, and apparently a full solar eclipse is coming to their place.
Sure.
In 2038. And it might be schedule up and start saving our nickels now to make a trip down there to visit.
Really?
That. Yeah.
So can I weigh in on this?
Yeah, 100%.
Okay.
Half the show is yours. Well, actually, I have 2/3. Yo-Yo has almost 1/3, and you got your part. But okay, go ahead.
Fair enough. Given all the HR issues that have happened, get all the write-ups. But so Yo-Yo, I mean, in just real quick, how do you weigh in on this? I mean, in a scale of 1 to 10, what was the experience like for you today?
Well, for me, it was a 10 because I was in the physical therapy. And they put me in a wheelchair, and they wheeled me and about everybody else that could walk. We went 2 blocks away and sat in a park.
What?
Yeah, with a whole bunch of people out there.
There over in DeSoto?
No, in Dallas. In Dallas, downtown. Oh, nice. And right there at Big Baylor. Okay. And so we sat in a park and watched it with a whole bunch of people. I mean, there was a gob of people.
Did you have glasses and all that?
I had the glasses, of course, and sat there and watched it, and when it got to the total eclipse part, man, people were standing up and clapping and just carrying on. And when it started to, go away, people started clapping again.
Really?
Yeah. So it was a interesting.
Okay,
experience.
Was that in a medical district?
Yeah.
So they wheeled you to a park where.
2 blocks away.
Other hospitals were wheeling patients as well. Not people like yourself who are fully stable, getting some PT on their leg and whatever, you know, balancing and all that. But like we're talking about, do you think they cleaned out some of the behavioral institutions?
No, I think.
These are all straight up patients.
Baylor, you know, Big Baylor's not over there in the medical district. It's just right outside of downtown by Deep Ellum.
Well, it's there.
It's down there by Deep Ellum.
Yeah, it's still around. But, okay, so here's my take on this, guys, and I'm going to use underwhelmed.
Really?
Yeah, because most of the hype
in that, dude.
This goes back, and I'm not, don't get me wrong, I'm not casting shade, no pun intended, on y'all's experience, because here's my whole thing on this, and I talked to several people today. I think it meant something to people highly dependent on the environment they were in. You're in the backyard with your family. My wife was in the backyard with Jordan, and you know, and Yo-Yo was in this cool park.
So you're just trying to go about your work day and squeeze it in if possible.
Not necessarily. We went down there as an office. We work in the Las Colinas area. We are
high end.
We went to the 8th floor of the parking garage. Where we observed these.
Were you trying to get closer to it?
No, at all, actually. But we all vacated down. They all handed out glasses. And we looked across Las Colinas Urban Center, which there's got to be 30 buildings. You know, the parking garage floors were full, and people were down in common areas looking at this. And I thought to myself, with all the hype, with all I heard about was we're going to have, like, an entire planet of humans enter into the Ellis County area, like 100,000, 200,000. They may very well come, but it goes to show you how big we are. I never noticed one thing. You know what I noticed? Less people. One. There's my one underwhelming thing. We, as Ellis County, declared a national disaster area prior to this, which I totally understand the precept idea. Two, I got out there. I got the glasses on, and the eclipse that I saw initially was something I've seen before, we've all seen, and just to get out there and watch it, got dark, and that was really cool.
Mm-hmm. Wait, what do you mean we've seen it before? A solar eclipse? When was the last one, Yo-Yo?
October.
Well, we saw one in 2017. It was a partial eclipse.
We saw a partial eclipse in October come through out there at Cross Plains, because we were hunting in October this last year, and there was a partial eclipse. Small, but partial eclipse. Hmm.
This was a full-blown eclipse, dude.
No kidding. Let me finish. I know it's a full eclipse. I've never seen one. It got completely dark. The one in October was, you know, you could feel the tinting. And I've been in those where you feel it's kind of tinted a little bit. Hmm. This one was tinted, and I'm not going to lie to you. I mean, it was pretty cool. I'll talk about it the rest of my life. But you look up, wow, it's three quarters away. Gone. You can't even see it through the glasses. Mm-hmm. And you can't help but take your glass off and look, which you shouldn't. And you look around, and it's not dark, but it's dark. I mean, it's not dark. I mean, it wasn't like midnight. It was kind of, you know, a little bit post-dawn, and it was cool. I've never witnessed that. But I've also been inside where I turn the lights down. I've been outside at sundown many times. And to me, the biggest hype, and this happens about every 18 months on the planet, it just, whether or not you're in the swath like we were, what made this so special was we're in the swath and right. going up and down the corridor, and it's only 100 miles wide. And so many people, that's why it got so much attention, because it happens about once every, I don't know, maybe 18, maybe even 6 months, where place people aren't. But the net of it is, it was totally cool. But a life-changing event? Not at all. Not even close. As a matter of fact, I was thinking about Independence Day.
Yeah.
And people staring at, you know, and then wanting to just, you know. But it was neat for it to get dark. It was neat. And I realize, you know, celestial, you know, infrequencies and all that. But again, I just, the way they had it built up, we were going to have absolute 100% bedlam. Stay home. There was nobody on the highway today. Going there and coming home. Nobody.
Really?
No. And the whole message was, go buy groceries, stay home. There's bad things coming. And so, you know, and I'm waiting on all this, and I thought, how cool. I didn't have traffic. It was a great day. It was a really cool event. Yeah. The weather was beautiful. We went out there, and God's grace, we got to be able to witness this thing because, you know, not too far away in Houston, it was cloudy, but it could have been raining, and we never saw any of it, guys.
So maybe this is why it was impactful to me.
Chad ciphered up some figures here.
No, I didn't. I was looking for a post that a gentleman on the I thought it was on KBEC's website posted up.
But don't misunderstand me, guys. I am going to say this. It was really cool. Really cool. Really, really cool. And it was a little odd that you could see all that happen. But we didn't have – my dog was taking a nap. A buddy of mine told me his wife was out there paddleboarding on Lake Grapevine. And when the lights went down and then the lights came back up, she said 10 fish hit the surface. Hmm. There was stuff like that. But, I mean, even Monica was telling me, she was hearing and reading about things where, you know, the whole animal ecology is going to be thrown into a tailspin. Really? Like 4 minutes? Oh, my goodness. All I saw was about 300 nocturnal animals hit the streets and start partying and then figure out it's not, you know, and then they had to go back in.
Well, I mean, it was dark enough at my house to where, you know, our mercury vapor light came on along with some other,
my solar uplights came on.
Yeah, I mean, sure, you know.
I went at home, but she sent me pictures.
But here's what was pretty moving to me. So as I mentioned, we got out there. We went out into the yard about 12:20, 12:30. Took a look at it, and you could just barely see a little, you know, bite taken out of the sun with the moon, you know, making its way.
And, so y'all got it there at 12:30. See, I got it there about 1:15.
No. They said that basically it would start roughly at 12:20.
And go through like 1:45.
And then the peak of it would be 1:40.
Okay.
The end of it would be at 3 o'clock. So basically you got an hour
and 20
minutes.
Did you stay out there till 3?
No. I called it quits, as I mentioned
earlier. I was there at 1:15 to about 1:40 something.
Okay. But let me say this. So throughout that first hour plus that we were there, you know, the clouds would roll in and cover it up, and they'd roll out and this and that. And as you're laying there looking at it, you could tell when the sun would slowly start to peek through, and you'd get a glimpse of it, and then a cloud would cover it up and all of that.
Yeah.
But I'm here to tell you, in the moments before it was officially a full eclipse, several things. Not a breath of wind.
Yep.
There wasn't a cloud in the sky. Mm-hmm. They had all dissipated.
Yep.
The sky was not this vibrant blue that we often have in the springtime.
It's more gray.
It was very
it
muted.
It wasn't like that this morning.
It was very, very muted. We're in our backyard, and about our neighborhood, it was just silent. I mean, birds weren't chirping.
Full eclipse. See all the clouds.
Birds weren't chirping. Nothing. Where we were, there was no sound. And as soon as it moved in, you could start to hear other people in their yards and about the neighborhood, you know, cheering, clapping, whistling, and, you know, and just acting out or whatever you'd want to call it, making noise in favor of it. And I just found it to be a very moving deal that was really cool, and I'm glad I stopped down to take
And I'm glad I did too, but I'm showing my phone to Chad as to what I witnessed on top of
and
our
then,
garage.
And then with regard to your...
See this?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's clouds everywhere. The sky was blue, and that's what I'm saying about the blessing, because we could have easily – we're supposed to have 80% chance of thunderstorms. We shouldn't have seen it, but we did. And that part was cool. I just – to me, I was underwhelmed because I thought this might be something – like I expected to see black, not be able to see my hand. And
I wasn't expecting that, because the sun is just so much bigger around.
Right.
And I knew there would be a ring and that sort of thing, you know.
That was my favorite part, seeing the corona.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what was cool, too, is as I was watching the sun become eclipsed, it just goes to show you how powerful that beast is.
Well,
because even with like 80, 85% eclipsion or whatever it's called, it was bright enough. Like you wouldn't have known it otherwise.
I don't know that in my life I have ever seen a star in the sky at 1:40 in the afternoon. And there were stars everywhere I was looking at.
Did you see Jupiter?
And then, down here.
Well, so Michael Robinson, a gentleman that I don't know, but, man, thank you so much, Michael, for chiming in and posting this up on KBEC's
we're getting deep here.
Hometown Radio's Facebook page. But he made a post, and it just says if you expand it out – it was either Jupiter. He didn't know if it was Jupiter or Mars.
Venus,
a red dot. Right?
Venus was to the right.
Venus was to the right.
All right, I didn't know if that mic or if it was Uranus, but we would have needed a panoramic lens to take a picture.
Hey, he's here all week, folks. Tip your waitresses.
That's right. Yeah.
Tip your waitresses and your serving staff.
You're a half astronaut.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
Was that a drop?
That was a drop.
A drop. When I said I could only count down from five, that make me an astronaut and yo-yo with his quick wits.
Gosh, that's so genius. Well, you know what, though? I mean, not to bore our listeners, but I think it was really, really cool. I'm totally glad I did it, but I think it comes down to this, and this is what I appreciate about y'all's experience. Because my experience, I just showed you the picture. We're in the middle of Las Colinas. It's all concrete. It was cool. It got dark. The clouds are still in the sky. We saw a couple planets. I got a tracker on my phone to look at stars, and it'll tell you which ones are what. There was Venus off to the right, blah, blah, blah. And it was cool. Our whole office did it. It was really cool. But I think if I were in my backyard, if I heard what he heard or what you heard, the applause.
Yeah, you made a mistake by
you were out there. Well, I had to go to work. I had to. But I also say this. The prelude of you being out there an hour plus before, I don't know when they wheeled you out there, yo-yo, but...
Yeah, we were there. It was about a quarter started.
Okay, so I got out there, and it was already
so you
three
were there
quarters.
Probably at 12:40 or something.
Yeah.
Like
oh, no, I was out there at 1:15. It was about three quarters up, and I got out there at 1:15 and left at 1:45. It was over, boom, came back up. 30 minutes, really cool, got to interact with people, but again, being out there that long... Being in the neighborhood, listen to that. That's going to be a different experience because it's the environment that you think about.
That's right.
But anyway, I guess the press box has become celestial box.
That was our NASA segment.
Our NASA segment. But so I suppose we've got Coach coming up in the next segment, right?
We do. Yeah. We probably need to go to break.
And do you want to break and come back? And
we'll
the
come
great
with Coach,
Coach
then we'll
Austin
talk a
Guest.
NCAA basketball at the end of the show.
Right.
Yeah.
So, ladies and gentlemen, we have coming back with us Coach Austin Guest of the Midlothian Panthers, both girls and or boys or men and women soccer. And I think we have another player coming with us, and that would be one.
Yes, we are.
Caden Nazir.
Nazir, yep.
Coming back at you when we get back.
Hold on.
On KBEC.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to a break and let's talk about Wayne Price Heating and Air Conditioning. In Waxahachie, they provide superior HVAC expertise that you demand for the highest quality results for your AC repair and heating needs. Call today at 972-834-2568 to learn more about all of their HVAC contractor services. That is Wayne Price Heating and Air Conditioning. Give them a call. We'll be right back after this.
If you are ever in need of a wrecker service, call TowPro Wrecker Service at 972-938-3221. They're the pros that can give you a tow. TowPro handles small and heavy towing 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Danny and his crew have been serving this area since the year 2000. Let them put their experience to work for you. Call 972-938-3221 or email at towprowax@gmail.com. TowPro Wrecker Service.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past few years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco user can buy $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110. Guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rates for 20 years. And if you're a smoker, we have great rates for you as well. At the Term Lifeline, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. So if you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call right now for a free quote.
Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes are based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting exam required to qualify.
800-349-6855. 800-349-6855. That's 800-349-6855.
How would you like to get high-speed internet for about $10 a month with no annual contract? It's possible with Whole Home Connect, your internet superstore. The internet's grown up over the years. There used to be maybe one provider. Now you have multiple choices that you may not even be aware of. Whole Home Connect can help you. With one phone call, they will show you the best internet deals available in your neighborhood. And yes, we have deals as low as $10 a month with no annual contracts. Whole Home Connect is your one-stop discount store for all your internet needs. It's time to upgrade your internet plan and save money. Call right now for a free quote and to learn about internet plans starting at $10 a month with no contracts.
Call now, 800-257-1632. 800-257-1632. Again, that's 800-257-1632.
TexianPride.com is the destination for Texans who want to show off their love for Texas. We don't settle for mediocre. Our shirts are made from 100% high-quality athletic cotton. They're cool, comfortable, and designed to fit and flatter any body type. KBEC listeners can use the promo code HOMETOWNRADIO to save $5. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Visit TexianPride.com and use promo code HOMETOWNRADIO at checkout for your next stylish Texas tee.
Hometown Radio, KBEC.
And now, back to the Press Box on KBEC.
We are back with the Press Box right here at 6:29 p.m. on Monday, April 8th.
Hey, I got to pass on the phone call that we got.
Oh, yeah?
So he said he was at his shop with people and... Heard some roosters crowing.
Yep.
And heard some birds singing and crickets going off. And he said that was pretty
cool. Amazing. That's good. Once again, Mike, somebody's joining our team, but nobody's been joining your team.
I don't mean
to point out how big a loser you are. I'm just saying.
Everything's a competition. Well, you know, isn't it true, though? I mean, it's... I was coming in here ready just to meh the whole thing. Just meh. Yeah. Like, it's fine, but meh.
But you have more respect for us than to do
that. I do, but I think I think what I missed was the environmental piece. Because when you're in the concrete jungle, it's still cool.
Yeah.
Because we were.
Hey. Let's call time out on that. We got two very important guests.
Well, let's get them on. That's what I was going
to
say.
There we go. We'll come back to the
deal. Ladies and gentlemen.
So, on our phone lines would be one coach, Austin Guest, and Caden, I'll need your help with your last name. How would we pronounce that correctly?
Pronounce Nizer.
All right.
You got it right to begin
with. Dang it, I was trying to build way too much into it. But anyway, Coach, are you with us as well? Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Fantastic. Man, thank both of y'all for joining us tonight. We got a heck of a lot to talk about. And, of course, our Eclipse talk went a little bit long, but were y'all able to view the Eclipse and get a glimpse of that thing?
I waited till y'all said it was safe, then I came out of the bunker.
Well played.
Yeah.
Well played.
Caden, what about you? Were you on the soccer pitch practicing it up during the eclipse?
No, sir. I actually got to watch it with the family.
Oh, good deal.
Good.
We won't spend much time on it, but where are you? Thumbs up? You thumbs down? Where are you, Caden? Was it cool?
Thumbs up.
Cool.
Yeah, all right. Coach, what about
Coach
you?
Coach Guest.
Yeah, thumbs up. It was interesting when all the outside lights that come on at night came on.
Yeah, right. For sure. Okay, so I just, Mikey, there's two more on our side.
Well,
of the
court. But you got to be categorical. Which one of those was on the eighth floor of a parking garage in Las Colinas?
That's right.
None. But anyway,
all good right, deal. Let's get going. Coach, if I can, I want to start with you because I want to give you a chance to talk about your women's team as well. They had a great run at it and all of that, but I believe they came up a little bit short over the weekend. So enlighten us a little bit about what happened there and just pour some pride onto us with for your team.
Well, I mean, we got a really great girls' side, and we fell a goal short in the regional quarterfinal to Colleyville Heritage. Has a real good chance to win the whole thing. I'm afraid it's going to be 3 years in a row we've lost by one goal to the team that wins state. So we're right there knocking at the door with the girls. We just need a little bit more grit.
Yeah, or a different bracket, right?
I mean, bracket or maybe a better coach, who knows?
And I don't think it's that. It's definitely not the latter. So, but there is an argument could be made that that game is the state championship game, right, if that's the way it's been 3 years in a row, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a good argument to be made that in every bracket, if you're going to win a state championship, you win it more than once just to get there.
Yeah, that's right.
Coach,
yeah.
You know, with that, I mean, and you can look at this not just in this scenario, but other sports and other levels across, you know, our sports nation. But how do you – I mean, because you can look at that as a positive and a negative. Right. I mean, you know, the whole idea is it, Coach, is it cliche to say, well, at least that happened? You know, it's like the Iowa State coach telling him, you know, hey, at least we're here in the finals. But in that particular situation with you, how do you message that to your players? And how, you know, what's their mindset with that?
Well, I mean, you know, I think you make sure they understand how close they were, how great they've done. And ultimately, you know, we're coaches and we're players. And we want to go win a state championship, but this is scholastic athletics. These are student athletes. Ultimately, what it's all about is that they have a good experience, that they grow up to be better people, that they learn to win, they learn to lose, they learn to compete, they learn to be good teammates. Because you know, when you grow up to be an adult, your household is a team that you have to run. And sometimes you're a starter, and sometimes you sit on the bench, and sometimes you're the hero, and sometimes you don't get any playing time at all because you're trying to help everybody else.
Wow.
Chad Hicks and Mike Fay, the press box here with Coach Austin Guest of Midlothian High School Panthers soccer. And it's a little bit unique because Coach Guest not only coaches the women's team, but he also coaches the men's team as well. You don't see that terribly often, especially in your larger classification schools. But just wanted to make that clear, Coach, for our listeners who we haven't had you on for a while. And I must say, it'll come out jovially, but I'm in all seriousness. You're a tough one to have on the show, and the reason being is your expectation and your level of success always carries y'all deep into the playoffs. Well, I would love to have you on the show 3 weeks ago, but I don't want to talk to you 3 weeks ago if you turn out and you're headed to the state tournament this week, right? So it makes it a little bit difficult. But how have you been able to take two programs that you know, perennially go that deep in the playoffs, they're that strong? I mean, you've got these philosophies and these strategies, these tactics, these techniques. How have you been able to do that year in, year out with not only the women's team, but the men's team as well?
Well, I mean, I think you prioritize, teach them to be good people, and you have a vision about how you want to play, and you start working on that when they're in seventh grade in middle school soccer, and you work that vision all the way through. You got to have a great booster club and parents that help, and you've got to have a fantastic admin that gives you what you need, and when you don't need anything, they stay out of your way, and sometimes that's just as important. Yeah. We've got an awesome coaching staff. We've got an assistant coach that could be a head coach almost anywhere if that's what she chose to do. You put all those pieces together with great kids like Caden Neiser, who's the third Neiser to come through the program.
Oh, wow.
And we have a little bit of, history and culture.
Yep.
That helps propel itself, and a little bit of synergy with the two programs working together collectively instead of competing with each other.
Yeah. So if we can, let's shift over now to the men's team and all this excitement that's about to ensue this coming weekend. But to advance, if I'm not mistaken, on Friday, and it's not that it's never been done before, but y'all advanced on kind of a unique or a weird way. Is that correct? I mean, in this final kick by the goalie?
Yeah, I mean, usually the goalkeeper doesn't score the game-winning goal.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Can you explain to our listeners that
goalkeeper and Kyle Allen, who can drive the ball a long way, and we were playing in a wind tunnel in Wichita Falls, and Kyle's gotten several assists this year. It's the first goal he's gotten, but it's not the first time he's worked on driving the ball big distance. And he literally hit a ball from 100 yards out that one bounced into the goal.
Wow. So did they have their goal uncovered, or was their goalie there as well?
He was cheating up a little bit, and Kyle caught him.
I got you. At the point that he kicked it, was he just – in his mind, was he just clearing it out, or was he truly trying to make a goal?
Oh, no, he was trying to make a goal.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. Yeah. So let's put the ties let's turn the tides a little bit on that. If that would have happened to your goalie – how would you have handled that, Coach? What would you have said to that kid? Or what, that's a tough one for a kid to go the rest of, especially if he's a senior, and never going to play again, to go the rest of his life knowing.
Man, I would have probably bit my tongue real hard and said, listen, that, with any goal that gets scored in soccer, that, there's four mistakes, five mistakes, three mistakes lead to that goal being scored.
Mm.
Their forward tried to,
yeah,
push a position he shouldn't have tried to push, and they didn't press our back player when our back player laid the ball back, and they didn't press Kyle the way they could have pressed Kyle. So, if the shoe's on the other foot, there's no one mistake that ends anything. It's just a layer of mistakes stacked on top of each other anytime a goal gets scored.
That's great insight. I've never thought of it that way, and I'm going to be, as you well know, I mean, I'm not a soccer guy. I like it. I watch it from time to time. I never played it, so I don't understand. Yeah, we got to kick the ball in the net. I get that. But the true layout of the strategy and what you're talking about, that's, I appreciate that. That's great insight. Mm-hmm. So I've got a question here that I want to ask both of you, right? So no copying off your neighbor and all that. Keep your eyes on your own paper. But, Caden, I'm going to start with you. At what point this season, if indeed it did happen, did you look at the team that you're on and think, man, we got a chance to do something really special here? Was there a turning moment or something of that nature that came about that really got you excited to keep pushing and dig deeper?
Honestly, from the beginning, our team was really set on making it far after last year losing in the regional finals to El Paso Bel Air. And we had a pretty senior heavy, but we also had a lot of young sophomores that were going to be juniors. And we were looking forward to this season and looking forward to making it as far as we could. And we always knew with the players that we had and the talent we had and the coach we had, that we can make it really far.
Caden, another question for you. You're the team captain, and talk to us more about being a senior on a team that, you probably have, most like other teams, your share of seniors and juniors, but here you are a senior. You guys are, you're leading the team into the direction of the playoffs, but what kind of responsibility is that to have, as a player in your situation?
Honestly, the team makes it really easy. They make it really easy on me. If you think about it, it's really not that much of a responsibility when you have a bunch of responsible players around you, yeah, pushing you and also helping you. You're not really alone. You're not really the only person there. There's a bunch of leaders, and you're just the one with the armband.
So, Caden, what did you do? And, Coach, I'll get back to – I'm going to ask you that same question that I asked Caden in a second. But while we got him here and we're on this train of thought, let's kind of stick to this for a second. But Caden, what is it about you, one, that got you to be the captain, but two, you know, your coach said – and I asked this same question to a lot of kids that we have on this show, but what is it about you that, you know, your coach could have picked anybody to be on here tonight, right? The way we operate, we put it in the coach's hands. You know, if you can bring a player with you to the show, we'd appreciate that. Why did he pick you, or what is it that makes you stand out over the rest?
I couldn't tell you. I have a good coach, and I like to work hard, and I've been raised right, and I'm just thankful to have the opportunity to be on.
Yeah. Well, we're glad you're here. So you're a senior, correct, right, as the captain and
yes,
all
sir.
Of that. What is your – do you have a future in soccer? Are you going to go to the next level and play, or what are we looking at?
Yes, sir. I'm looking to play college in soccer, and I have some offers, and I'm waiting until the tournament's over to decide.
Okay.
Okay, Caden, so let's talk about that. More importantly, let's talk about a little bit of details, because you got young kids that are going to listen to you. They're going to watch you. And, you know, soccer is wildly popular.
Caden, you probably didn't realize you were going to get grilled on this show.
Here we go, Caden.
But, man, this is good stuff, though.
You better write your notes.
Great appreciation for
but
you.
What I find remarkable is you've been on varsity at minimum 3 years, right? I don't know
if you
were on there as freshman, but you played 10 games as a sophomore. You played 28 as a junior, about the same this year. And you scored a plethora. I mean, career-wise, I mean, if these numbers are right, it's around 33. It may not include the playoffs. That's a lot of goals. And even better that you doubled that this year versus last year. And so speak to that a little bit on a technical level as kids are thinking, okay, one, how did you make that improvement? Was that more playing time, or was it just you getting better? What'd you do to get better?
Honestly, I played a different role in those seasons. That junior year, I was attacking, but honestly, I was a little younger, didn't have the full confidence, passed the ball around more. And the team around me my senior year has also really helped me with that, helped me with the confidence, helped me with getting me the ball in the right situations. And it's just the confidence in the team around you that can help you and push you.
Does that
also,
game
the growth in the age.
Right. Does that game slow down for you now that you're in more of a position where you're, you know, making a strike to put it in the goal? It's a different role than being the person giving the assist, to kind of see the play unfolding and assist in the play. You know, what are some things that you have to do differently to put yourself in a position to be able to make sure that goal scores or that kick scores the goal?
It's just making sure you're in the right position, scanning the field, the awareness, and making sure you're always open to your teammate, the gaps. It's just the vision of the game, the way you read the game.
Right. And I guess, you know, I always like to ask this too, just, you know, obviously you're a fine young man. Coach wouldn't have you on. You wouldn't be a captain. You wouldn't be having the success you have. So here's this kid, you know, he's out there knocking around trying to, you know, he's doing some select stuff maybe at 10. You know, there's a ton of those in this community.
A ton.
What's your message to them? What do you tell them right now that here you are 17, 18 years old or about to be, and looking back on your life in 7 years, what do you tell them?
Just individual work. Work on yourself. Even when it's not a team practice, work on yourself. Go to the field. Get touches. Any touches help. You don't have to be with your team. You don't have to have a nice field. You just have to work hard. Work on what you think you need to work on. Ask coaches. Your coach will tell you what you need to work on. There's multiple ways to get better.
Yep. Awesome. Awesome. So Coach Guest, let's go back to you now. And I want to ask you that same question that I asked Caden, you know, a few minutes ago. At what point, I mean, let's face it, all coaches at the beginning of the year, it doesn't matter what the sport is. Oh, yeah, we're playing for a state championship, right? I mean, typically that's the goal. Whether they truly mean it or not, that's up to them. But at what point in this season, or if there was a defining moment when you thought, okay, yeah, I got a really special group of young men right here that can
take this to really, really deep into these, this, and make a run at this state deal?
Well, we had a real solid group, like Caden said, coming through from last year. But we had some big competition in district from Cleburne, and they ended up being tied with us most of the season. We drew with them early in the season, and we got them at home late in the season, the second round of district, and went down two goals early. Just, you know, made some mistakes, and they layered on top of each other, and we got punished for it. And then we got the guys together, and we talked about it, and we said, look, it's not over. It's not over till the last buzzer. Let's go play. And they came back, and they won that game. You know, after being two goals down, they came back and get a 3-2 win late in the game. And a similar situation happened a couple weeks later at Burleson Centennial, where we got down by a goal early in the game, and then came back and won in the last couple of minutes. So if you got a team that won't quit, you got a team that can do a lot.
Yeah. So it was in the, that, I mean, that's in, that, that's pretty cool. But I was thinking, I mean, I was just speculating, but I thought it might have been a little earlier in the season. But to think that at those points, you just keep coaching that into them, what you said, you know, don't quit, right? Just stay with it. Yeah.
And you know, it goes back to the other thing we said. These are not just the best lessons about soccer, not about soccer. They're lessons about life.
Right.
Keep grinding. Don't quit. Don't give up. Find a solution.
Yep.
You know, these are things we all could live by.
Yeah, absolutely.
Coach, this late in the season with the kids, I mean, it's, you know, how strong are their legs? How does that conditioning piece? Because to speak to what you guys just talked about, grinding and keeping your head down, I mean, how much of that is now conditioning? I mean, you got a whole season's worth of experience and nuance with these kids, and guys are meshing and all that. But how much of that now for you during the week getting ready for these games is just about conditioning versus tactics?
I mean, I think it's more about rest, recovery, and regeneration at this point than about conditioning. The conditioning's there. It's just a matter of overcoming the fatigue and hoping that they've got the durability to push forward. And one of the things that Midlothian ISD has done that's awesome is put Corey Anderson in charge of our strength program. And, you know, Corey does a very soccer-specific set of stuff that's geared towards helping our players be stronger, helping them be more durable, helping them be able to recover. And then as a coaching staff, we got to be smart enough to figure out when not to push them, because they just played a match here, and then maybe they turned around and played two club games the next day when we didn't see them.
Right.
And just figuring out how to juggle all those chainsaws.
Yeah, well put.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, flaming chainsaws on top of that, right?
Yeah.
So here we are. We're headed to, I'm assuming the state's finals are in Austin. Is that right? Or somewhere down that
Georgetown.
Way?
Georgetown.
I'm sorry?
Georgetown.
In Georgetown. Okay. So what does your upcoming week look like this weekend? What are we doing?
Well, we'll train on Tuesday morning, and we'll train on Wednesday morning. And then about middle of the day, Wednesday, we'll travel down to Georgetown and watch one of the 4A semis and kind of see, get a feel for what the arena looks like, so to speak. Then on Thursday, we prep and we play that match on Thursday night and hopefully take care of business. And if we can take care of business on Thursday night, we're up again on Saturday.
So who do you have Thursday? Who are you in the semis with?
Goose Creek Memorial.
All right.
Mm. And where's Goose Creek?
Kind of, I believe, generally in the outer Houston area.
Okay,
it's around Houston.
We're just now getting to that point where we're prepping for that game. What we've been doing between Saturday and today is securing hotel rooms and buses and taking care of all those logistics that have to be taken care of that nobody even thinks about when I think about what it takes to win a
soccer game. That's right. Yeah, sure. And keeping the players focused, sure. Right?
And then who are the two teams in the other semi?
In the other semi is Frisco Wakeland, who is a kind of a perennial powerhouse. They've won over and over and over again. And in their semifinal They will actually play right before us. And
I didn't mean to put you on the spot. I just didn't know. But
no, it's right in front of me. I'm just a
all of
second.
Yeah. No.
Oh
worries.
Yeah, they've got Leander to win.
Leander hasn't
lost a game this season.
Well, it's all exciting.
But we haven't spent a lot of time focusing on that because we got to get through Goose Creek.
Yeah, no, exactly right. Yeah, don't overlook them. But I was just curious so we could dig in and find something.
Well, make sure the listeners are aware of it.
What I'm absolutely hoping for is y'all go down there and come back with a bunch of gold medals, and we do maybe a remote like we've done in the past, you know, over in Midlow or something of that nature. It'd be really cool, you know. Love celebrating a state championship, but on no matter what happens, you've got a great group of men there and a great group of student athletes and all of that I know you're proud of them. We're proud of y'all as well. So thank you so much for being on the show with us.
Yeah, we appreciate your time, Coach. And Caden, you know, thank you for taking time out of Bucks and coming up on the end of the year. So thanks for being on the air with us.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And ladies and gentlemen, there they go.
There they go.
Coach Austin Guest, who is, of course, as Chad mentioned earlier, the head coach of the Midlothian Panthers,
head soccer coach. Yeah.
What did I say? The head soccer coach.
Yeah, just heads both men's and women's.
Men's and women's soccer. And his midfielder and senior and captain, Caden Nazir Nazer, who looks like he's got some hope beyond this. But there they go into the state final. So, guys, we're gonna jump into a commercial here real quick. And on the backside, we'll close this thing up.
Dr. Yetter and Edward Jones, nurse practitioners, are a family practice and are taking new patients at Ennis Family Care. They see children and adults needing primary and preventative care, chronic disease management, weight management, sports physicals, diabetes, hypertension, and more. Call today to schedule your appointment at 972-875-8833 or visit them online at EnnisMedicalGroup.com. Live well, be well.
Equipment cluttering up your backyard? Jet skis taking up space in your driveway? Whether you need an extra closet or garage, Access Self-Storage has the space for you. Meet the friendly, helpful managers who live on site with state-of-the-art surveillance and electronic entry systems. In Red Oak at 561 East Ovilla Road and in Midlothian at 1630 North Highway 67. Committed to safety, security, and service. Access Self-Storage.
And now, back to the Press Box on KBEC.
We're back. Chad Hicks, Mike Fay here at the Press Box under the exquisite production of Mr. Yo-Yo Dave Van Zandt. And,
Probably ready to conduct a dismount.
Yeah, we are. But, man, I hope y'all didn't miss that because we had Coach Austin Guest from Midlothian High School and his boys' team. Yeah, they're headed down to Georgetown.
For the playoffs. Final four.
Exactly. Down to four, man.
And
go ahead.
Well, no, sorry to interrupt, but, you know, the thing that impresses me so much about Coach Guest, man, coaches two 5A programs.
Program. And here's the deal.
Who else does that?
Well, but here's the thing.
We've talked to him about it.
Yeah, yeah. From time to time, you see a person, let's say, that's the head baseball coach, but then he might have a responsibility to coach freshman football or something like that, right?
Right.
But it's very, very seldom. And granted, if you're at Class A or whatever, man, you might be the head football coach, the cafeteria lady, and the superintendent all wrapped up into one. And that's understandable. But at a 5 or 6A program, to be the head coach of both the boys and the girls soccer team, it's a little bit unusual. I don't know in my time if I've known too many that did that.
But
Coach Will Height is
Duck Will Height.
Yeah, he's a unique beast. I mean, he can coach anything.
But Coach Austin Guest and just, you know, hats off to those
class
people.
Act, man.
We're gonna
class
be watching act. Them closely, but looks like we are against the shot clock. But I think it's worth mentioning we got
a few minutes.
A few minutes.
Tonight, Mikey.
I wanted to say something about your Waxahachie Indians sitting out there at 25, 20-5 with 6-1 in district.
if my numbers hold true, and I think they're coming along. They're ranked 29th in the state.
Yeah.
Which we'll see what the post does, but, you know, that's exciting to see what's happening out there at Richards Park.
It is, but I can't close out tonight's show without saying something about this.
Tonight about college
brings
basketball. Yes, Final Four.
The finale of what I have deemed as the most exciting three consecutive weekends in sports. And that's right. The NCAA basketball tournament. Both men's and women's. I've grown. Yeah, the women's game has become much, much more athletic and than it was decades ago and all of that.
How about three years ago when you had 4 million people watch it, and yesterday afternoon at 3, 18 million people.
The and not only
game
that,
tonight will not even come close.
You watched the all-time leading Division I scorer in basketball play yesterday.
That's
on
right.
The women's court. And
even
so,
though she didn't win the trophy.
Caitlin Clark, yeah.
But Chad, to that point, I would just be curious, guys. Do you think, and I believe so, I said it Sunday in a group meeting, Sunday school. I think women's, I'm going to be tuned into women's collegiate basketball next year.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to be watching
sure.
very closely, yeah. as will many other Americans, because you're not going to go from 18 million to nobody. There'll be another Caitlin Clark. There's yep. some Caitlin Clark in high school right now, and they're going to start. And it's yep. going to get more media and more money, don't you think?
100%, yeah.
Good.
What she did for her sport is pretty phenomenal, and she's to be commended for that.
Yeah.
A little bit about tonight's game against the Purdue Boilermakers and the UConn Huskies. You know, Purdue's got this kid that's 7'4", 7'5", and up till now, no team has been able to really match up against him. And so when they get in the jam.
Until last year when they got beat in the first round.
Yeah.
That time they did, though.
Yeah. But,
very first round, first game.
But
bounce.
Right now, I said early on I thought Purdue would take it just because of him. But it all whittles down, and tonight I'm pretty sure UConn's got a 7-footer, 7-plus. It'll be interesting to see the two of them go at it and battle in the paint. And I'm excited. I'm anxious to
and if you look
boogie
at
on home and take a look at it.
The girls' game yesterday, I mean, the reason UConn – this is what's fascinating about Iowa State. UConn
– Iowa, not Iowa State.
What did I say?
Iowa State.
Whatever.
It's the Iowa Hawkeyes.
It is, the Hawkeyes. But okay. What's fascinating about that is you saw, you know, the Huskies had – Six foot, or actually, check that. It was
well, first
the
off, the
Gamecocks.
Huskies had both a men's and a women's team in the Final Four. That's
right.
Pretty incredible.
But yesterday, the final two were, South Carolina.
South
it
Carolina,
Gamecocks.
Yeah.
But
it was,
they had a 6'7"
very unstable mascot.
They were just
saying,
of course, they were throwing it into her, and she was just turning and kicking it. And I heard this on the radio today that Caitlin Clark, if she was, you know, just a big tall girl. And was lobbing
Brittany
it in.
Brittany Griner type.
Yeah. There wouldn't be so much interest. But what's interest is her ability to shoot and score.
That's right.
Incredibly.
Drive and score.
And
yep.
And you're going to find that with the young lady that played against from Connecticut, UConn rather. And I think right now women's collegiate basketball, given the top three names in collegiate basketball, are women in a very distant fourth is your man from Purdue. And I find that interesting because I almost look at it like what Nadia Comaneci did for women's gymnastics, and now we follow it. What Dorothy Hamill or those that preceded her did for figure skating for women. I think this is huge.
Yeah, oh, it's huge.
Like, remember Chris Everett and then all the other women that followed her up to the Williams sisters? Like, women's tennis at one point was much more popular than men's,
right.
Although they didn't get paid
well,
as much.
Right. I mean, tennis is – I mean, it needs – you know, it needs the Jimmy Connors and the McEnroes.
It does,
it needs
but
that
you're about
charisma.
To find that same phenomenon, turn it around in women's sports. I don't know how it'll translate to NBA, but I promise you this. If they can keep – if the industry can keep producing the women college athletes – that NIL money and everything pulling it through, I think you're about to watch some basketball that will further fascinate you than the next two or three teams. They got one kid who will be there one season who can jump 46 inches and slam the ball and go to the NBA. Your attention will pivot to the stories, the interest levels like they do in the Olympics and everything else, and pivot itself to women's basketball. I think it's coming.
Yeah.
I think it's coming in a big way.
Well, you think it's coming, and I think we're going. It is 7 o'clock straight up. That's the end of our time. Folks, as always, we greatly appreciate you tuning in. We want to thank Caden, Nizer, Nazir, and we botched it, Caden. I apologize, but we're just two rednecks talking about sports on here. Thank y'all for joining this program. Wish Midlothian soccer all the best this weekend in the state final tournament and or the final round of the state playoff tournament. And for those of you that enjoyed the clips today, man, I'm glad you did because I really did myself. And with all of that, tell them good night, Yo-Yo.
Good night, Yo-Yo.
You've been listening to The Press Box on KBEC, 1390 AM, 99.1 FM, and online at KBEC.com. Press Box is brought to you by Jerry's J&W Carpets in Midlothian. Drive a little and save a lot at Jerry's J&W Carpets. Tune in every Monday night at 6 p.m. for The Press Box.